Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called Growing in the Seasons of Life. In these teachings, Pastor Rick shows you how to make the most of the seasons of life, no matter which one you're in. In just a little while, we're going to tell you about a one-of-a-kind resource that will help you draw closer to Jesus. It's called the Journey with Jesus Deluxe Gift Book. Find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 1-800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called The Season of Financial Stress.
The fourth condition, God says, I promise, I guarantee, I will meet all your financial needs. You'll never have to worry again if, number four, if I maintain my integrity. If I maintain my integrity. You see, God does not bless dishonesty. Proverbs 16:11, notice this verse. The Lord demands fairness in every business deal. Circle that word fairness. Now that includes wages, that includes salaries, that includes taxes. If you want God's blessing on your finances, you must be honest about them. Proverbs 19, verse 1 says, better to be poor and honest than rich and dishonest. The Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, lose his soul? Now, why is this an important principle? I'll tell you why. Because, and you know this as well as I do, that when you're going through a season of financial stress, the temptation is enormous to toss out your integrity and to cheat in order to make ends meet, to be dishonest, to throw out your ethics. It may mean you shade the truth on a sale. It may mean that you exaggerate the value of something or under-exaggerate the value of something. It may mean you claim a false deduction on your taxes. But you always lose in the long run when you lose your integrity. Because that's what you're taking to heaven, your character, not your money. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth, and he adds no trouble to it. Notice that, no trouble. What's he saying here? He's saying that profit that's made dishonestly brings trouble with it. Why? Because whatever you reap, you're eventually going to sow. And if you rip off people, other people are going to rip you off. And if you cheat, even the government, you're going to get cheated in life, because what you sow, you will reap. Now, this decision to say, I'm going to be honest in my finances, is not something you just make once for all, where you go, well, okay, it's Sunday, from now on I'm going to have integrity in all my finances. No, it's going to be a daily decision, because you're going to be tempted with decisions of, am I going to tell the truth or am I not? Am I going to be honest or am I not? And sometimes honesty costs. Have you learned that? Sometimes it costs to tell the truth on a form. But God says, if you do that, I guarantee you, you won't have to worry about financial needs.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
As Jesus made his way to Calvary, on the road called the Via Dolorosa, which translates to the Way of Suffering, there were 15 stops he made along the way, which hold tremendous significance for every Christian. Since many of us may not be able to travel to Jerusalem to visit this place, Pastor Rick Warren has created a beautifully illustrated book called Journey with Jesus that will give you a way to celebrate, reflect, and pray about what Jesus did for you on the cross. This book is stunning. It has a soft vegan leather cover and is filled with beautiful glossy photographs and colored mosaics that depict the sacrificial journey Jesus made to save us from our sins. The narrative will give you deep biblical insight into the most important event in human history. This powerful resource makes a meaningful gift. It is only available through Daily Hope, and we'll send it to you when you support this ministry with a financial gift. Quantities are limited, so don't wait. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004. Or visit PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Once again, here's Rick.
Some of you have said, you know, Rick, I tried tithing. I tried tithing, and I still have all my financial needs. Well, it's not just one thing. There are five things here. You can't be tithing and cheating on something. You can't be tithing and not learning to be content or asking God for help. You must do all five. Now, before I give you the fifth one, I want you to hear the story of Peter and Sharon, who went through a season of financial stress, applied these principles, and saw some amazing results. Would you give them a warm welcome?
Last year, about 2 months before Christmas, my husband lost his job. This was the fourth time in 5 years that Peter had been laid off. I asked him, what lesson are we not learning that we have to keep going through this over and over? His answer stung worse than a bee. He said, maybe it's so you will learn to have faith. I was studying the Bible on a regular basis, but I guess I wasn't integrating what I had learned. As a result, I was full of anxiety and anger and self-pity over still another job loss over the Christmas holiday when I should have been full of good tidings and great joy. So it occurred to me that he might be right. I vowed to learn whatever lesson God wanted to teach me through this so he wouldn't have to keep repeating this lesson over and over. The first lesson we had to learn was to be content and grateful for what we did have. And two of those things were our family and our relationship with Jesus Christ. The following Sunday, I changed my prayer request from, please give Peter a job soon, to, please give me peace and patience while you're opening doors for my husband. When I prayed this prayer, I immediately felt a sense of peace come over me. It was amazing. Then I prayed for God to bring something positive to come from our season of financial stress. I said, dear Lord, please help this job loss to work for your glory. If it brings just one person to have a personal relationship with you, then it will all have been worthwhile. You know our needs, and we trust that you will give us the perfect job and your perfect timing, and you'll provide for our needs in the interim. The second lesson we had to learn was to ask God for specific help. I don't believe it was a coincidence that during that time, Pastor Rick gave a sermon, How to Pray Prayers That Get Answered. Boy, did we need that one. He talked about being specific in our request to God, so I began to pray very specifically about our finances. Please, dear Lord, have a job offer come through before Christmas. Please have that job be at a salary level acceptable to my husband. Please have it be in the medical engineering field so he wouldn't have to change careers. And please have it be 1/2 hour from our home. We were excited to see what God would do with these specific requests.
The third lesson we needed to learn was how to practice giving in faith. The following week, our finances were getting even tighter, and the situation wasn't improving. Since my last job was only in temporary position, there was no severance pay when I was laid off this time. However, since I really believed that God would provide for our own needs right in the middle of this financial crisis, we fulfilled our second-year commitment for a 100% increase in our offering for Time to Build. I also wrote a $20 check to the Orange County Rescue Mission for holiday meals for the homeless and a $12 check to Children International for a needy child in Quito, Ecuador, who we had committed to sponsor each month. I felt that their needs were far greater than ours. All donations were written against my credit lines, as our cash reserve had been depleted. The reason I felt led to do this was because we've seen God provide for us in the past when we put Him first in our lives. In 1994, when our church had a Time to Build campaign to give money for this building, I'd already been employed for 5 months. I had no income and no significant job leads at the time. But in faith, We gave a sacrificial time to build offering, and God showed his faithfulness then too by somehow providing for our needs. In fact, that same day, we turned in our cash contribution and pledged for time to build, somehow, anonymously placed $200 cash under our doormat and left a message in our answering machine to inform us that it was there. To this day, we do not know who left the gift, but we suspect from someone in our small group. After we made our time to build offering, I was offered a temporary job. And that job ended up lasting a full year.
I was still struggling with the lesson and some things I just had to keep learning over and over. I'm embarrassed to admit it, but I got angry at Peter when I discovered that he was giving our food money, actually credit line money, to help others when we were eating from our earthquake supply kit. And even that food supply was dwindling fast. I put in a prayer request the following week saying, "Please, dear Lord, give us some money for food next week." We were literally asking for our daily bread. That was a Saturday night service. The following Monday, Mary called from the church office to say that we had been selected for the holiday sharing program. She asked us what gifts we would like for Christmas. I said what we really need most is food, and I started to cry. She asked if I could come down to the church office. When I arrived, she gave us a sack of non-perishable foods and a $50 gift certificate for Ralph's. That same day, the mailman brought a $60 check from my sister in Oregon. And the following day, Tuesday, he delivered $60 in traveler's checks from Peter's parents in Holland. I said, the Lord not only hears prayers, but he works fast. This was only the beginning of the many ways that God reminded us of how much he would take care of us if we trusted him. For instance, we came home one day and found a registered letter containing $1,000 in traveler's checks from Peter's godfather in Belgium, who he had not seen in 9 years. Also, God used many generous people in this church family to provide us with food, cash, and Christmas presents during that lean season. One day, a total stranger who attends Saddleback Church delivered a gift basket filled with food for our Christmas dinner, a grocery store gift certificate, a lovely turkey platter, a tablecloth, and matching napkins. Another family who had adopted us brought us two shopping bags full of presents, a $100 grocery store gift certificate, and a frozen turkey. I could hardly believe that two people that we've never met before would do this for us. We understood how Saddleback really does operate as a family when you get involved in more than just attending. To top it off, 3 days before Christmas, Peter received the job offer we were specifically praying for. God had kept his promise. In closing, we'd like to publicly thank God for teaching us to trust him and fulfilling his promises. Our faith is so much stronger today because it has been tested. And we are sure that it will be tested again in maybe some other ways. But as Pastor Rick says, God is more interested in our character than our comfort. When you have God's promises in your heart and God's people around you, you can handle anything. Thank you.
God has guaranteed to meet all your needs if you meet these conditions. He says, I can expect God to meet my needs if I ask for his help, if I learn to be content, if I practice giving in faith, if I maintain my integrity, and finally, number 5, if I trust him with my life. Now, this one kind of summarizes all 4 of the other ones. If I trust him with my life, Matthew 6:33, look at this verse. Your heavenly Father already knows perfectly well what you need, and he will give it to you if you give him first place in your life and you live as he wants you to. You see, when you worry about your finances, you're basically saying, I think God is a liar. I don't really think he will meet all my needs as my Heavenly Father. But he will, if you'll meet the conditions. It's a father thing. You know, when I was a kid, I had this thing with my dad. That any time I had a need, I went to him and I said, "Dad, I need some money." Not once in my entire growing up did I ever wonder, where is he going to get it? You know, it's kind of an unwritten rule. Dads make it, kids spend it. And not once did I ever wonder, where is my dad going to get this money? I never worried about it. God says, you can come to me and you can ask. And I want you to prove your trust in me by four other ways. And if you'll do that, I will bless the socks off you. And you will never again have to worry about your finances. And I will take you through some financial times of stress because I'm going to test you. And I'm going to help you grow because your faith and your character are more important than your comfort. But he says, I want you to put me first. You see, really what worry is, it's just a form of atheism. Every time you worry, you're basically saying, I don't believe there's a God. And I don't believe he's going to take care of me. If you're a Christian and you worry, you're acting like an orphan. You're acting like you don't have a Heavenly Father who hasn't already promised over and over again in Scripture, I will meet your needs if you will obey me and do what I tell you to do. So it forces you to live by faith. Worry is a warning light. It is a warning light. Every time you worry about your finances, it's a warning light that you are doubting that God loves you and will take care of you. And we always get into trouble when we doubt God's love. Notice it says first place. If you give him first place in your life, would you circle that? You see, as long as I love anything more than God, that thing's going to be a source of anxiety. There was one thing meant for first place in your life. And by the way, it's not your family. Where'd you get your family? From God. God says, put me in first place in your life because you can't lose that relationship. Any other thing you put first place in your life, career, a relationship, or anything else, you're going to create a source of anxiety in your life because that can always be lost. And you can lose it 1,000 different ways. So you must have in first place in your life something that cannot be stripped from you. Notice the next verse. 1 Timothy 6:17. Don't put your hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. Anybody want to give a testimony on that one? But put your hope in God. You see, no matter how much you make, you can lose it all through a lawsuit or illness or disaster. Your bank account is not your security, no matter how big it gets. It says, put your hope in God, because God says, I will assume responsibility for your needs if you'll trust me. Look at the last verse. He gives food to those who trust him. That's a good verse to put on your refrigerator door. He gives food to those who trust him. He never forgets his promise. Now, what this verse is talking about is what Romans tells us. If God loved you enough to send Jesus Christ to die for you on the cross and save you and secure your eternal destiny, don't you think he loves you enough to care for you if you will do what he says to do? Tell me the logic behind this. Oh, I trust God for my eternal salvation, but I don't trust him enough to tithe. I don't trust him enough to learn contentment. I don't trust him enough to be honest in my finances. That doesn't make sense. When God saved you, he saved your biggest problem. And if you can trust him to get you to heaven, you can trust him to provide for all your needs if you'll do what he says. Really, the bottom line in all of this is, do you believe God will do what he says you do? Or is God a liar? If he's a liar, I suggest you start looking somewhere else for salvation too. It's that simple. The bottom line is, do I really believe God will provide for me and do what he says he'll do if I will do what he tells me to do? And I want to say to you, listen, you'll never know until you put him to the test. You'll never know. So I want all of you to take out a card. And I'm going to say five things here, and I want you to write down a number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on the back. God has said, I guarantee you'll never again have to worry about financial problems, even when they come. I'm not saying you're not going to have financial problems. I'm saying you won't have to worry about them if you will do these five things. And I want you to solidify your commitment this morning before Him. So if you're deciding to say, I'm going to start asking God to help me with my finances, and I'm going to start specifically praying for things before I pay for things. He may not everything just give it to you, but at least give Him the opportunity. Trust Christ before you put it on credit. If you'll say that, I'm going to pray for it first, I want you to write down a number 1 on the back of your card. Write down a number 1. I'm going to start asking God for specific help in my finances. Write down a number 2 if you're saying, I'm going to start learning to be more content with what I have. And to stop comparing and start learning contentment. Write down a 2 on the back of your card. If you'd say, you know what, I'm going to start tithing the first 10% of everything that I make, as an example of I trust you, God, in faith. There are more promises about giving than anything else in the Bible. And I want to learn to be like God, be a giver. I want you to write down a 3. I'm going to give Him the first 10% of everything that I make in faith and out of gratitude, the fact that I wouldn't have any of it without Him. Write down a 3. Write down a 4, then, if you're going to also say, I'm going to commit myself to being honest in my finances, to having integrity, to be honest with others, and to be honest with God, not cheat people in order to get ahead in life. And finally, write down a number 5 if you'd say, I'm trusting Jesus Christ completely with my life. Completely with my life. Now, I need to clarify that if you refuse to do any of the first 4, you cannot legitimately claim number 5. Because Jesus said, don't kid yourself, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you missed anything or would like to find out more about this ministry, just go to PastorRick.com. Here's Rick to tell you about a very special gift edition book called Journey with Jesus.
Every year, Christians from all over the world remember the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ by traveling to Jerusalem, where they walk the path that Jesus took on the way to the cross. That path is called the Via Dolorosa, which literally means the way of suffering. I want to suggest a way for you to celebrate and reflect on and pray about what Jesus did for you on the cross. So I've created a brand new one-of-a-kind resource that will take you through the 15 stops that the Bible tells us Jesus took on the road to Calvary and His death on the cross. Now, we're calling this resource Journey with Jesus. Journey with Jesus is a deluxe hardcover gift edition book that's illustrated with really beautiful photos, high-quality glossy photos of mosaic tile artwork that reflect each of the stops that Jesus made on His journey to the cross. You're not ever going to forget this gift. It's a great gift book to keep and to study over and over again, and it'd make a great gift for your family and your friends, too. This gift book is available when you donate to Daily Hope this month.
We'll send you Journey with Jesus as our way of saying thanks when you support this ministry with a financial gift. You want to get extra copies to give as gifts to your friends and family members. This one-of-a-kind resource is only available through Daily Hope. Quantities are limited, so be sure to get yours today. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004, or just visit PastorRick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.